Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You probably don't think much about water. It's a pretty remarkable element or material, actually. It covers about 3/4 of the Earth's surface. 60% of your body is made up of water. Some critters, like slugs, are made up of 90% water. Chemists will tell you that water is the universal solvent. It will dissolve more solids than any other substance. Water makes an excellent coolant. It does that because it is able to absorb so much heat before it turns to the gaseous state of steam. In most substances, when they freeze, the frozen element sinks to the bottom, and those liquids freeze from the bottom up. Not so with water. When water freezes, the ice that results is lighter than water, and so it floats. And the great advantage of that is that when a lake freezes over, it freezes from the top down rather than from the bottom up. If it did the latter, it would kill all of the fish and living things within its body. Water also has power. We have seen water wheels for centuries driving mills and other kinds of machines. Steam-driven engines can produce enough power to power a ship, to drive a long train. And water turns the turbines in a dam that generates electricity. And water gives life. Irrigation allows the desert to bloom and produce fruit. We can live without food for a couple of weeks, but we can't live without water for more than a few days. But that same water can also kill. It takes only a few inches of water in which to drown. Currents in water can move vehicles and take people off of the road and upset their car and result in them drowning. The force of water is surprisingly strong. Well, you might be wondering at this point, what does water have to do with our texts for today? The answer is that today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, and he and you and I were baptized with water. It's interesting that in Luke's description of Jesus' baptism, he doesn't really talk very much about the details of the baptism. He focuses more on a couple other things. Luke says very simply, when all the people were baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him as in the form of a dove. And a voice came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Luke was not focused nearly as much on the physical act of Jesus' baptism or the conversations that he had with John regarding it. He was much more concerned with the concept of the Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove and the words that God spoke about Jesus that confirmed to the people there that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. Luke just doesn't consider the mechanics of the baptism to be important, and so his focus is on those two items. To Luke, the important things were that God sent his Son Jesus into the world, and this was the guy. And he also pointed out that God was confirming that the Holy Spirit was there now, part of Jesus' life. In a sense, this was an anointing of Jesus as the king, although not the king of this world. Well, that all happened a couple of thousand years ago. My question for you this morning is, what about your baptism? If you were baptized in an infant, you may well not remember much about it. I was about 6 weeks old when I was baptized, and I certainly don't remember anything about it. In fact, I'm a little bit jealous sometimes of those folks who remember a baptism because they were baptized as young children or perhaps as an adult. For them, baptism is an event which they can remember. It's an event that gives them a date which they can point to in which they became a child of God. They know the date that the Holy Spirit was placed in them. They heard the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And they felt the water poured over their head as each time the name of that Trinity was spoken. In Luther's Small Catechism, he reminds us that in baptism, our sins are forgiven. In baptism, we are rescued from Satan. And in baptism, we receive God's promise that we will have eternal life for as long as we believe. The unbeliever might say to you, "Well, how can water do such great things?" And Luther answers that question specifically in his Small Catechism. He says, "Baptism is not just plain water, but it is the Word of God in and with the water that does these things, along with faith, which trusts the Word of God in the water. For without God's Word, the water is plain water, and there is no baptism. But with the Word of God, it is a baptism, a life-giving water, rich in grace and the washing of regeneration, of new birth in the Holy Spirit." As we think back about our baptisms, about our Christianity, I don't know about you, but there are times when I have to wonder about my baptism, when I do things that just seemingly don't make sense, when I sin against God, I wonder what happened to that baptism. Did it really work? Perhaps you've had the same thought. You might have thought, did the pastor use enough water? Did he say my name right? Was there some error in the service that God might have been displeased with? If the Holy Spirit is in me at my baptism, then why don't I feel his presence all the time? If his Holy Spirit is truly in me, shouldn't I act more like a disciple of Jesus than a follower of Satan? If I am a child of God, why do I feel so trapped in my sins? Why do I still have that sinful nature? The reason for all of those things is because of that original sin with which we are all born. We are born as sinners in a sinful condition. And so, because of that, we have doubts. We wonder if we really are a child of God. We ask that question of God, "How can you love me? I'm such a terrible person." And we fear that there may be something that we haven't quite done that will make God happy enough to accept us. Luther addresses those concerns again in his Small Catechism. He says, "Baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all its sins and evil desires, and that a new person should daily emerge and arise and live before God in righteousness and purity forever." At birth, we inherit a sinful condition. Sin with capital letters. But at our baptism, God gives us a way out. He gives us a solution to that condition that we inherited. Luther says that through the work of the Holy Spirit that we receive in our baptism, we acknowledge our sins, we repent of those sins, and by the power of the water and the word, the old Adam, that sinful condition, is drowned each day. Another way that water can kill. And because of that baptism, we can begin each day with a new and clean slate. Because you were baptized, you can arise as a new person who is right with God. And through that baptism, you and the death of Jesus, you have eternal life. That all sounds pretty good, you might say. But Luther was just a guy who lived 500 years ago. And he nailed a piece of paper to the cross that created all sorts of hate and discontent around the world. I'm still not so sure. To justify Luther's position in his small catechism, he quotes from our epistle lesson for today. In Romans chapter 6, Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore within him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life." To those people who are baptized in Christ, they will die with Christ, so that just as he rose again, we too can rise again to eternal life. And if you're still not convinced, then we might look at the Old Testament lesson in Isaiah. The first verse says, "But now thus says the Lord, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This written some 700 years before Christ was born. We have nothing to fear, God says. We are given the name Christian at our baptism, and it is then that God says, "You belong to me. You are mine." And Isaiah goes on to say, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." So when we walk through difficult times on this earth, we are reminded of the children of Israel who walked through the Red Sea on dry land. And when we refuse to worship idols, we remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who were cast into the fiery furnace. Because God says in Isaiah chapter verse 3, "I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." At Jesus' baptism, God acknowledged Jesus as the Savior, as the Messiah to save the world. And continuing in Isaiah, "Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men for you in return. I give people exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you." God loves us. We are precious to him. He purchased us by sacrificing his son. So that means for you at your baptism, God placed that Holy Spirit into you. He made you his own dear children. And he did that so that each day you can begin with a new life in newness in Christ. He made it possible for us in that baptism to be right with God. Not because of anything we can do, because in baptism it is God who does all of the acting. And he did this so that on the last day we can stand before that throne and declare that we are innocent, not because of ourselves, but because of the work of Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed. We are baptized into Jesus' death so that like him, we can rise again on the last day and be welcomed into heaven. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.